This message, I guess, this morning was birthed in my heart, and then I came to Sunday school, and Brother John mentioned a text that just kind of got me stirred up, and I want to look at a thought tonight. Colossians 2 and 7, I use this verse in our welcome, if you want to turn there. The Bible said in Colossians 2 and verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. What a responsibility we have to teach the Word of God, and to teach our children, to teach our young people, to teach moms and dads. And the Bible said, not only rooted and built up and established in the faith as you've been taught, but then the Bible uses this word, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I want to look at that thought tonight and talk about it. And we'll be looking at the word abound and the word abounding as it's used in the Scripture. Not all of the places, but certainly tonight, some that are very, very important. Let's pray together. Our Father, tonight we thank You for the privilege to open the Bible. Lord, we look forward to this week. Lord, to be with our family, to be with our friends. Lord, I thank You for our family here at Bible Way. Thank You, Lord, how they've taken Miss Eve and I in and allowed us to be part of their family. Lord, I thank You for the family of God that's scattered out over the globe. Lord, You never have and never will leave Yourself without a witness. And Lord, we're glad to be a part of that witness in these days. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we draw near to the cross and draw near to Calvary, and God, that You'd help us to abound therein with thanksgiving. I pray, Lord, tonight You'd take this thought and bless our hearts together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I looked at a definition in the Hebrew and in the Greek, and I want to share that with you in the onset of the message tonight. The word is used over there, and I'll come back to this verse in Proverbs 28 and 20 in the Hebrew. It said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And I looked up that word in the Hebrew language. It comes from a word, R-A-B, just rab. It means to be abundant in quantity and size, age, number, rank, and quality. It means captain or elder, enough. Isn't that a good word? Exceedingly full. To greatly increase. To have enough time, long enough. Manifold blessings. It means master, mighty, to multiply. Plenteous, populous, sufficient. The Bible said a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I looked it up in the, I'll be using several New Testament scriptures as well tonight. And it comes from a word, parousio. And I like this, it starts out the definition to superabound. Jesus didn't just come that we might have life, but that we might have it more abundantly. The Bible said to superabound, to be in excess, to be superfluous. Also to cause to superabound or to excel, to abound, abundance, abundant, be better, enough and to spare. I like that. Exceed, excel, increase, redound, to remain over and above. The Word of God wants us to abound with thanksgiving. The Word of God doesn't want us just to live a ho-hum Christian life, but He wants us to be full. He wants us to increase. He wants us to have an impact on others around us. I got three things tonight I want to talk to you about briefly. And these three things tonight I believe will help us and cause us to abound therein with thanksgiving. And without these three things, I believe there would be a reason that we don't abound with thanksgiving, that we're not full. And I don't know about you, but I like it when God fills us up. I like it when it spills over. Amen. There used to be a lot more of that, didn't there? Amen. People would get so full, they just couldn't contain it anymore. And it would spill over in someone else's life. The first thing that I want us to see, a reason why we ought to abound in thanksgiving, is the forgiveness that we've enjoyed from Calvary's blood that was shed. The Word of God said in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." You see, we were offenders a long time before we knew we were offenders. But the law entered. God came along with the law, and we saw ourselves guilty before a God and the holy God. And then God said, what happened then? The offense abounded. The offense got big. It got bigger than we are. It showed us that we were in trouble with God. But the Word of God didn't stop there. It said the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. A lot of people are going to miss Thanksgiving this week because grace has never abounded in their life. Amen. I talked to a man yesterday, and I won't say where. And I don't know why it's coming to my heart right now. But he's got a nice home, nice piece of property. And he looked at me and he said, "I hate this place." I almost felt like when I left there that I failed the Lord. I believe that man ought to have been rebuked. Amen. A man that says he's a Christian, "I hate this place." There are a lot of people that are just discontent. Some of them, I wonder if they move into glory, if they'll like that place. Amen. You can't make them happy. But because we've been forgiven and experienced the forgiveness of God, grace has abounded in our life. That ought to make thanksgiving abound in our life. In Romans 15 and verse 13, the Bible said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I believe God wants us to abound, don't you? And when we're abounding and that forgiveness is abounding in our heart and mind that we've experienced through the cross of our Lord, that it would cause us to abound therein with thanksgiving. Oh, beloved friend, thank God for His forgiveness. Not only when we got saved, I hope somebody knows what I'm saying, but since we got saved, thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God for His forgiveness. The second thing I want you to see in the message tonight, in abounding therein with thanksgiving, is the word faithfulness. A lot of people are kind of, they got the mully grubs. They're down on everything and they're not abounding with thanksgiving. And the reason is they're just not faithful. The Bible, "Moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother Brian, you mentioned it from time to time in Sunday school. This church has a wonderful heritage. This church has been able to see a lot of men and women come and stand and leave and go to glory, having been faithful to the God of heaven. That ought to be in every one of us's heart. Amen.
as was mentioned, Brother John mentioned, Brother Rightly Sally this morning, just to stay in the field till the sun goes down and be faithful to the God of heaven. Amen. Be faithful to our family. Be faithful to our church. The Bible said a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And I'm going to tell you something right now. A lot of times when you see the word blessings or blessing in the Bible, a lot of times what people equate that with is things. I tell you, the real blessings are not things. Amen. They're not things that you can touch. They're not things that you can put in a drawer. But they're things that we enjoy called the blessings of God. Many of them were mentioned this morning. I talked to my brother this morning. I said, Chris, if you could just thank God for one thing. He didn't hesitate. He said, peace. He said, I've got so much peace in my heart. Now, you can't take peace out and put it back in a drawer and you can't see it. But I tell you, it's a blessing to have it. Amen. It's a blessing to have joy. It's a blessing to have a heart swelled up with love. It's a blessing, amen, from God to know that you're saved. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. I'm going to tell you, some of the most blessed people that I've ever met in this world didn't have much of this world, but I tell you, they had a whole lot of another world. Say amen right there. And they had the blessings of God. A faithful man shall abound. One of my favorite verses, I love to use this verse, especially at a graveside when we've buried a loved one or a friend in the Lord. The Bible said, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. But then it says to those that are left behind, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I believe some people will never abound with thanksgiving because they're just not faithful. Some have been forgiven, but they're not faithful. Some have not been forgiven. Amen. And I'll tell you, when you're forgiven and you're faithful, it'll bring about a blessing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 7, the Bible said, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You say, preacher, you believe the happiest people are faithful people? I do. Listen to what the Word of God said. One of the men in the church mentioned something to me this morning after Sunday school. And I believe he's right. Listen to what the Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 49. By the way, if this doesn't describe America, I don't know what does. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 49, we're talking about being faithful in the work of God, abounding in every good work. When you're abounding in the work, you're abounding with thanksgiving. You're not complaining because of the work. You're thanking God you have a place to work, a place in the work, a little place to labor in His field. In Ezekiel, the Bible said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. He's speaking to Israel. Pride. The major problem in Sodom didn't start out with sodomy. It started out with pride. Too big for their shoes. They forgot where their blessings come from. Now listen to this. Fullness of bread. They had everything they needed. The Bible said that even would creep into the church in Laodicea. We're rich and we're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. Oh, how we need Him. But listen to this. Not only the sin, the iniquity was pride and fullness of bread, but there was an abundance of idleness. An abundance of idleness. I'm going to tell on my rebellious self. Can I do that? When I was a teenager, they didn't have these little bitty Christmas lights like they got now. LED. We didn't know what LED was. Amen. I knew what an E and a D was on my report card, but I didn't get any L's on my report card. Amen. But anyway, I'm just joking there a little bit. I did get a few of them along the way. But let me say this. We lived in a subdivision. Edgewood, Maryland, 20 miles outside of Baltimore. And you know what got us boys in trouble more than anything? We didn't have enough to do. He said, what are you going to do this evening? Going to hang out. You hang out long enough, you'll hang. Say amen right there. Just going to hang out. I can remember my dad taught me to respect the law, and respect law officers. And I appreciate my father teaching me that. My first cousin sure didn't teach me that, amen, but my father taught me that. He had a way of correcting you. We were going out, brother, how many remembers them Christmas bulbs that was about that long, about that big around? Some of you are grinning, you're old. Amen. You don't even remember them. Well, they're coming back? Oh, just like the ties. One guy, he corrected the preacher. He said, preacher, don't you know those ties are out of style? He said, hang around, son. They'll be back. He didn't go keep wearing it. Amen. And so what we did in our abundance of idleness, we couldn't afford firecrackers. So we would go around behind the bushes and unscrew those Christmas lights. Now, maybe I should stop with this because they're coming back. I might be sowing seeds here that don't need to be sown. But your preacher ain't always been a preacher. Amen? Me and them boys, we'd get down behind them bushes, we'd unscrew. And if you unscrewed one, it didn't turn the whole light out. Whose dumb idea was that anyway, that when one bulb goes out, the whole string goes out? Get down there and unscrew, and we'd get our pockets full of them. We'd go down there where the circle was made. We'd throw them just as high as we could throw them up in the air. Boy, they made a great old big pop when they hit the pavement. Amen. I can remember one evening, you said, preacher, what's this got to do with the message? My heart wasn't full of thanksgiving then. I was full of idleness. What's that old saying, Brother Wayne? The idle hands are the devil's workshop. One day, me and two other guys were walking down the sidewalk, and this police officer pulled up alongside of us. He said, boys, let me talk to you a minute. I believe looking back, this man knew exactly what was going on. He said, I want to talk to you a minute, and I'm telling you, it's a wonder. It's a thousand wonders those things weren't jingling in my pockets as bad as I was shaking. He said, boys, we're having a little problem with Christmas lights in this neighborhood. He said, people are finding them missing, but they're broken in the street everywhere. He said, you boys don't happen to know anything about that, do you? Never did stutter before them. No. I'm lying about it now, amen. I believe this man knew exactly what he was doing. He was putting out a little bit of a warning and a little bit of grace. Saying, boys, I'll give you a chance. Honey, I tell you, every one of us had our pockets full. All he had to do was lean us up against the car and pat us down. But you know what? It got our attention. And as soon as he was gone, the bulbs were gone. We never did that anymore. I believe one of the things that's wrong when people, they think, well, you know, preacher, you need us to be faithful. Let me tell you something. You need you to be faithful. Preacher, you need us to be involved in the work. Let me tell you something. You need to be involved in the work. Because it was Sodom. It was a fullness of bread. It was their iniquity. It didn't start, my friend, with what it ended with, but it started with pride and fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. And in this country we live in, we're feeding people that wouldn't even pick up a shovel. They're idle. When God said, if a man don't work, a man shouldn't eat. And that idleness is taking us down a dark road as a nation. Policies are being developed around votes. And those policies affect us all. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Some have never been forgiven. Some are just not faithful. The Bible said about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:27. The Bible said, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. If you read Proverbs 31, that woman was busy. She was doing a work for her family, a work for her husband, a work for her Lord. Amen. She was not idle. I believe with all of my heart that if we keep on going like we're going, the strongest muscle in the body is going to be the thumb. Am I right or am I wrong? Idle. Forgiveness, faithfulness will cause us to abound with thanksgiving. And then the last thing that I have tonight, this word to superabound, to be in excess, to excel, enough and to spare, to increase. It will come as a result of the forgiveness we've experienced of our faithfulness to the Lord and to His work. But then number three tonight, and I'm done, as a result of our fruitfulness. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 for just a moment tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Here's where Brother John is this morning for just a few minutes. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 4, wherein are given to us exceeding great, precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, he said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Let me ask you a question. If God says to a saved man, I want you to add to your faith, then tell me what the enemy is immediately going to try to do when an individual gets saved. If God's in the adding business, then Satan's in the subtracting business. If God's in the multiplying business, then Satan's in the division business. Amen? And so when God says, add to your faith, that's not just going to come. It's going to have to be on purpose. We're going to have to, my friend, set our heart, set our mind. Watch in verse 8 what I'm talking about here. For if these things be in you and abound. Some are not abounding with thanksgiving because they've just never been forgiven. Some are just not faithful. And some are not fruitful. Amen. God wants us to bear fruit. To bear more fruit. and to bear much fruit to the glory of God Almighty. He said, abide in me, and I in you. If these things be in you and abound. And then in verse number 9, it says, in verse 8, you need to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fruitfulness, I believe it's important that we know God. In Philippians 1 and verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in knowledge and in all judgment. Not only should we know God, we should love God. It brings fruitfulness. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men. Don't just salute the brethren, salute the sinners too. Brother Brian, I'll give you a little thought here. At the end of Sunday school, many times you say, okay, you've got a little time to gossip. You can say, okay, you got a little time to salute. Boy, a lot of saluting going on this morning. I thank God for that. People getting around, trying to get to know people, trying to learn names, trying to show an interest in others. What a blessing that is. I believe our Lord smiles on that. Amen. Love one another. By this, Jesus said, shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you that by the Lord Jesus that as you've received us, how you ought to walk and to please God so that you would abound more and more. God wants us to superabound, to have life and have it more abundantly. Not only from loving God and knowing God and love one another, but from pleasing God. These are things, the Bible said, now the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. Against such there is no law. God wants us to be fruitful. Around the globe, many Christians are being persecuted. That time may come in America, and it may come soon. I don't know if you've noticed, but among the so-called elites in our country, Christianity is no longer what Christianity used to be. And many people are equating Christianity with Catholicism. And what a mistake that is. What a mistake that is. Tonight, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 1:5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, Paul was talking about things he was going through in his life. He said, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I don't know that we've suffered much at all, do you, in this country? But I'm telling you, there may be a test coming for the church of the living God. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You say, preach, I don't know where that verse fits in the scheme of this. I believe there was people hollering, praise God. Thank God. Thank God. We used to be where they are, but we're not anymore. I believe when Paul and Silas were down there in the prison house at midnight in Philippi, the night that Philippian jailer got saved, I don't believe they were in there whining and complaining. But boy, they were thanking God. I believe, Lord, thank you that we're just worthy to suffer a little bit for your name's sake. You say, preacher, what was going on? I tell you what was going on. They had been forgiven. I tell you what was going on. They were being fruitful. They were being faithful. Even in the dungeon, they were faithful to the God of heaven. And it made a difference. How many believes we're living in the midnight? I believe the midnight call is fixing to come. You read that parable about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. I tell you, I'm glad there's oil in my lamp tonight. The songwriter had, there's a little song that said, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. When the call came, the foolish virgins went to the wise and wanted to borrow of their oil. See, there's enough oil for everyone, but it's not my oil to give you. How many can say amen right there? It all comes from the same source. The same God must give oil to every repentant sinner that believes on the Lord. We're living in the midnight. May our Lord find us abounding in forgiveness, abounding in faithfulness, abounding in fruitfulness, and thereby abounding with thanksgiving. Many of you may not understand what I'm about to say. God understands. I'm about as an unlikely candidate to be standing where I'm standing tonight as any man in this world could ever be. And I want to abound with thanksgiving. Amen. A little while back, a man told me, he was talking to me on the phone. He was talking to me about my precious wife. He said, preacher, he wasn't a man from this church. I've pastored this man years ago. He said, I believe when God put pastor's wife in the dictionary, that your wife's picture would be right alongside of it. But my wife knows she's about as an unlikely candidate to be a pastor's wife. I mean, she was, I guess, 16 or 17 years old. We're going down the road one day, and I looked over at her. I wasn't saved. I at least had a background, though. I knew some Bible. I looked over at my wife and said, honey, do you fear God? She said, no, am I supposed to? But God. But God. God's been good to us. And we're going to abound therein with thanksgiving. Amen. God, help us to be forgiven. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be fruitful. I can hardly mention the word faithful without thinking of Brother Fred. Sister Sue, she's not back there, is she? Is she back there tonight? She moves on me, so I got to be careful. She used to always sit up here. And I'm not saying this to put Sister Sue in a bad light, because she felt sorry for Brother Fred. Several times, probably in that last year or so, she would say, Fred, why don't you give it up? His response was always the same. I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can. You know what I say? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants to serve the Lord as long as you can? As long as you can. The night's coming. It's coming quickly when no man can work. So let's work while it's day. Amen. We're in the process of, I'll go ahead and tell you this. I've asked Brother Steve to help me, and I've talked with Brother Kyle. And Brother Kyle's in complete agreement. I'd asked him several months ago to help me, and his job has just not allowed it. But we're in the process of getting a real nice flyer together. And Brother Steve's going to help us with our visitation program, with organization, with little forms and things that we can keep up with, having something to give people. And he's excited about it, and I am too. But on our first Saturday in December, we've going to have that flyer about the Christmas play. And it'll have a gospel message in it. It'll have a personal message in it. And there'll be an opportunity for God's people to come and to help us to spread the word. I believe that many times it may take years. But that person that keeps getting that gospel track, that keeps getting that note, that keeps getting that flyer, something's going to happen in his life or her life. Amen. Brother Ralph, you and Brother John have been visiting with a couple of older men. And they've seen them soften. I think they're even going to church some now, aren't they? Isn't that what you guys told me? They've seen that process from where they didn't even want to hardly talk to them. What, Brother John, in about a year's time or so? They've seen these men just soften up. And now, just come on in, come on in. I want to hear they got saved, don't you, Brother Ralph? Yeah. And one of the keys is that we're not just trying to get them in our church. We're trying to get them in His church. Amen. Amen. Everybody's glad you come tonight. Amen. Let's this week, Tuesday night, we'll be coming in for prayer meeting. Let's abound with thanksgiving. Mom and Dad, look at your children. You don't have to say a whole lot. I know it would be hard if you had a son like Chance to look at him and say, son, I thank God for you. That'd be tough. But tell Brother Rick to muster it up, okay? Muster it up. Look at your children. How many believe God shows up when you start something like that? Just look at your youngin' and say, honey, I thank God for you. You let a youngin' look at mom and say, mama, I thank God you're my mama. You watch God show up on the scene. Amen. It'll get big. It'll get big. Abounding therein. Superabounding. Life. Eternal. Life abundant. That's what God wants us to have as His people. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to share the Word of God. Lord, it's been a joy to be here today. Lord, I know there are people here today that really don't feel like it, but they came on anyway. They love you. They love your house. They love your people. They love your Bible, your Word. God, I pray today that you'd help us all not to get stuck in the rut of the world where Thanksgiving's just about food and a football game. Lord, there's nothing wrong with having food and nothing wrong with watching a football game. What a shame it would be for God's people not to abound therein with thanksgiving. Lord, you've been good to us. We've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. We have fellowship one with another. Thank you, God, for the family of God. Thank you for my family. I pray, God, the family circle be unbroken in heaven.